Mine was a little sloppy there, but the peak will work.
It's good. I got it.
It's a little bit of a double clap that I did there, John.
To make sure there was something that connected.
Yeah, a little bit of a double clap, which is also a very dangerous venereal disease.
We usually don't start off the show with the idle banter, but that might be a good place to start off the show with.
That's a little inside podcast baseball for.
Yeah, the clap.
The clap.
Double every clap. Every podcast has the clap.
That's our new motto.
Let's talk about some baseball. Did you have a chance to watch the grand finale that wasn't so grand of the World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was the disappointing final game, but overall as a series, I think it was interesting. Though I say that having not really watched any of the other ones because USA wasn't in it. And, you know, I'm all about USA, John.
USA. USA.
You know, careful, we don't want to pay music royalties. Who are you?
What was that?
Who are you?
I was going to get there.
Where are you?
I think people are going to think this is a bit. That every week that John forgets to introduce who we are. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney. I'm at John Sumple on Twitter. He's at Jed Rigney on Twitter.
That's right. And this show is?
Foul Territory.
Right.
: a baseball podcast.
Right.
And I'm going to let the audience know that we had a major screw up when we first started to do this, and we lost some comedy gold that wasn't recorded on my end because my system hung up, and we right. lost some brilliance there. But
you keep using this word "we," John.
I did.
Yes. Okay. Just to be very clear, we had comedy gold that was ruined
by me.
By there you go. Just
it's all my fault. I take it. I take full responsibility. I'm going to fall on the sword right now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe after the podcast, so we can at least get this one done. So we were talking about, before everything kind of went sideways, was how anticlimactic the World Baseball Classic was, because you had two really close games in the semifinals, and then you had a blowout in the championship game.
Yeah, and, you know, the great pitching performance by Marcus Stroman, but it's just, I don't think that's what people want in the championship game. I think they want really good pitching, but I don't think they want like a dominating, you know, one hitter through six innings kind of thing. I think people want like 5-3. They want something like what happened with the World Series, you know, like.
Right. Goes extra innings. It's a tight ball game. They're scoring runs. It's back and forth.
Yeah. It's pretty lopsided. Pretty lopsided.
Yeah. It was for all intents and purposes over after, Kinsler's home run, because Stroman was definitely, you know, you get six innings from the start, you go into that bullpen, which is pretty solid. They had a nice little run, but they, you know, they finished the tournament. Was it 6-2? And they
what are you
the
about?
Two. What was that?
Who are you talking about?
The U.S.
Oh, okay.
So they won six games and lost two during the tournament, and the two teams that they beat in the semifinals and finals were undefeated going into the games that the U.S. played them, and they beat them. So the U.S. lost to Puerto Rico earlier, and Stroman pitched and got racked against them, gave up like six straight hits in the first inning, and was game over.
Yeah, some of those were just sort of BABIP, right? Like just. Balls finding holes. They weren't necessarily like home runs or doubles.
No,
they definitely weren't those things.
Right.
But they weren't like, wow, here's a rocket. They're just, what do they call them? Like Texas Leaguers.
Seeing eye base hits.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I will say it's interesting that Kinsler got that home run, because before the game, there was a bit of a boring drama about how the game should be played, where Kinsler was explaining how he felt the game should be played more stoically, and that the it wasn't wrong for the non-Latino players to play stoically. And this was something that actually people wrote articles about and couldn't be more bored by it. Who cares how they play the game? Because obviously there's the whole thing about Latinos play the
game
with more flair, right? Bat flips and all that stuff, which I love. But it doesn't mean everyone has to do it. It then turns into a circus. But if some guys do it every now and then, fine. But is it a right way? Or a wrong way? No, the right way is my team wins. The wrong way is my team loses.
Yeah, Robinson Cano's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
So is Baez. So is, you know, just the long
so
list.
So is Kinsler
of,
to that.
Right, right. So, and, you know, he stoically ran around the bases.
I mean, it's know. A, you know, it's an impoverished neighborhood in Detroit that the bank is located in, but Kinsler is still laughing all the way
all
there.
All the way
but
to
not,
the bank.
Not
at the people
as he's
walking. Right, right.
But just at the massive amounts of money that he's taking to the Detroit bank.
Correct, correct. Yeah, and one of the things, too, that I thought was interesting is that it was, you know, the end of the game, it was exciting, and the players, you could tell that they were excited that they won, but it didn't feel like they just, the U.S. team just won for the very first time, in not that they've been played a lot, it's only the fifth time, but it didn't mean more. It just didn't have that kind of, in past ones, when some of the Latin American countries had won, there was like, you know, parades in the street and people,
well, like
you
when
know,
Japan
celebrate.
Won, they went crazy in Japan. And we were, oh crazy. My God. And, you know, the ratings were up for this because the U.S. kept playing, right? And it was the MLB Network said it was their second highest rated baseball game ever.
Well, that's good to know because I didn't see a single mention of the game on social media amongst my friends. So that tell, and I have
some
baseball
friends.
That's
because you're on MySpace, John.
That's good. Good comedy. That's good. You see, we're making up for it. So the other thing that you were, you know, well, we can move on from the World Baseball Classic. And you were talking on our the lost files of Foul Territory about our new website.
We got a new website. Foul-territory. I don't spell out the word hyphen. It's just an actual hyphen. Foulterritory.com, but foul-territory. And it's where all of our podcasts will be stored. And I'm going to do a better job of selling it this time than I did last time because I learned from my mistakes, except when it comes to women and except my wife, who, anyway, whatever. You know what? I did learn from that mistake. And can we delete this part? Because, all right, moving on. Anyway, website. And there's going to be some articles up there from me, and we may have some other authors on there soon, maybe. I don't know, but it's going to be a lot of my various musings about things and all the podcasts for people to listen to whenever and wherever they want, unless they're not carrying an electronic device and connected to the internet.
Right. So they can download it. They can do anything and everything that a normal podcast website would be is going to be what our website's going to be.
Yeah. I would say it's even a little bit better than that.
Well, it looks better than, you know, some podcast websites that I've seen. So this is the beginning of something wonderful. So this is going to be something where we, you know, it's early beginnings will be several podcasts, some of, you know, Jed's greatest hits, and then we'll be adding content to it from other writers over time. And I may even contribute, you know, every now and then.
Yeah, and I was thinking maybe we do some excerpts from the podcast as little sidebars or something like that, but we'll see.
We can
figure out some stuff. It's in its, let's say, the larval stage. Is it past the larval stage?
I think so. I think we have wings.
Because it's actually out now, right?
Yes, it is out. So it's not incubating anymore. Yeah.
I mean, so before, I don't really know what larval means. So
yeah, so before we leave as our audience, let's get on to baseball and what's going on. So we did talk about the World Baseball Classic comes to an end. I guess one more little thing there. I think the breakout star of for the Team USA was Kristen Yelich. Had a incredible series, just had some clutch hits, had a couple hits last night. He kind of rose to a prominence that he hasn't been able to achieve in Miami because, you know, he's been in Miami.
I just want to be clear. So you're saying let's not lose the audience. Let's talk about Kristen Yelich.
Oh, there'll be a lot of talk about Kristen Yelich.
Is that what just happened? That I just want to make sure I understand that sequence of events.
Okay, so let's move on to something even bigger and better and more important names. Let's talk about Kevin Kiermaier and Tim Anderson.
Well, hold on a second, John. I want to do, you know what? I'll do a sponsor next week.
Oh, I didn't know you had one.
Yeah, I had a new sponsor, but you know what? I'll just do it next week. Let's talk about Kevin Kiermaier.
Speaking of, you know, names that people just can't wait to hear on podcasts throughout the world. Is Kiermaier. Kiermaier is mostly known for his defense.
Yes.
And his defense gives him a above average war. So that helps tremendously.
Yeah, best center fielder in the American League.
Yes. And fun to watch. A lot of fun to watch. Doesn't do a whole heck of a lot with the bat. He's had spurts here and there.
Yeah,
but
had a nice half season last year. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, to me, what's interesting about this deal is not really so much because obviously he's not that big a name. But the fact that it's 6 years, right? It's Tampa Bay being smart, buying out a couple years of free agency for a pretty low price. Not that low, though.
$50 million, right?
Not super low. Not like Ender Inciarte super low, where apparently the agents wanted to give the Braves a deal or whatever. That's a bad contract. That is not that. Well, it's a good contract for the team, but for the player, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think the values are about the same for Kiermaier and Inciarte, and most people who know baseball don't really know those two guys, but they're very good defensive players who have some offensive ability, roughly valued the same. Inciarte basically gave away 2 years of free agency compared to Kiermaier.
Oh, and Tim Anderson just did the same thing.
And well, Tim Anderson, you know, is this going to be one of those Jonathan Singleton things? He said, knowing that no one listening knows what he meant. Jonathan Singleton signed an extension, and he's in the minors, and he's not going to play Major League Baseball. And Tim Anderson, I don't know that Tim Anderson deserves a six-year deal. I think the White Sox are trying to do like a little bit of a gamble, like.
But I actually like this. I like this from the economic perspective of the game. We've been talking about this several times, even dating back to some of the shows we did last season, but already a couple times this year.
Which that, will also be available on the website, by the
right,
way.
Right, last year and this year, yes.
All right.
So, but what we've been talking about is it would be nice to see baseball have an economic model where you're paying these guys who are, and not to say that Kiermaier and Anderson and Inciarte are going to be the faces of baseball in 2 or 3 years, but I'd rather see guys get paid on the front end of their careers than be embarrassed at the end of their careers making, you know, $25 million a year and putting up paltry numbers. So there's okay. We've had this mentality...
What? I don't disagree with you. I have nothing else to say to that.
No, I just would like to see more deals like this where we're paying people on the front end, getting them into, and it, from a fan's perspective, it's nice to know that you might have somebody on your team, but a lot of these contracts have outs after 2 years or 1 year or things like that. But, you know, it's like, wow, you know, this guy signed a 10-year contract, an 8-year contract, a 6-year contract. You know, this is all... From a fan's perspective, it helps them think that these guys are going to be around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with what you're saying. I just feel like to some degree, these guys are getting paid what they would get paid if they went through arbitration. And like the cumulative amount is the same, but there's that certainty, right? That's why they take the less dollars.
But then you have that perspective, too, that you know these guys are saying, like, I'm going to get while the getting's good because I don't know if I'm going to be here in 3 years.
Right. Might be injured, might be...
replaced,
you know, diminishing skills, all that stuff.
Right. So, yeah, but interesting too that those both happen, you know, within the last few days, 6 year contracts for players who are not still under in their arbitration years and giving up time.
Yeah. And I think Anderson's not even arbitration. I think he's got less than a year of service time. Yeah. So, I think his deal was, I think, for slightly more. Who is it that had the big, was it Chris Archer that had that big deal? Again, Tampa Bay.
Mm hmm.
Getting while the getting's good for them.
And he tanked
again,
last
security,
year.
Right? Like 6 years of of X amount of dollars. You know, if he gets injured, then he gets.
There is a risk for the ball clubs doing that, especially now where, you know, pitchers are like, you know, we're going to shelve you for a year and a half. You know, we'll see it. We'll see you in 2019.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's like it's akin to having, I don't even know because it's never been, you know, done before. It's just like, you have a serious injury, but we've invested a lot of money in you, so we're gonna take a risk and see what you look like when you come back in a year, in a, you know, year and a half.
Yeah,
it is interesting, and they're encouraging young players, you know, go under the knife young when you're young. You've seen a lot of guys coming out of college having Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
this doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, there was a piece about that up on FanGraphs about teams drafting players out of college with Tommy John. Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Speaking of for injuries, right?
Yeah, this is a good one.
Segway!
Raisel Iglesias had an unfortunate encounter with his shower.
Right.
And apparently it happened a couple weeks ago. So now the news is just breaking. Breaking news. Breaking
now,
news.
Now, here's the thing. Whenever I hear about this stuff, so the story is that he hurt his hip?
His hip and his elbow. Yeah.
Yeah. And now look, that makes sense, right? You slip and then you swing out with your elbow and that smacks into the wall. And then you hit your hip, I don't know, whatever, I guess, or you your hip goes down and then your elbow hits. I mean, look, it works, okay? But isn't it always something else with these things?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, isn't it always like he was fixing his truck or he was racing a bike or, I don't know. I don't know Raisel Iglesias, but
there was one player last year, a couple of years ago, that fell down the stairs carrying groceries and injured his knee. I don't remember who that was, but that was, I mean, those are like really.
I mean, it happens.
Head scratchers, yeah.
I mean, there's a guy who, you know, threw out his back sneezing. Like, there's guys, there's always these stories of these guys. I used to run, when I used to do this best of the worst thing, I always have worst injury of the year, and it was always something like that, you know, like, always brings me back to the Mo Vaughn injury when he signed with the Angels after the Red Sox. In game one, he goes to get a foul ball, misses the first step in the dugout, blows out his knee, and he's out for a year and never gets his power back. And heavy set guy gains too much weight while he's away to be effective. Like, wow, that's a terrible injury to happen to a human. So.
So let's keep on the
Keep the hilarity with injuries going on.
Cody Anderson, speaking of Tommy John, is now out for the next year and a half with Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, I threw him on the list here because I thought he was an interesting pitcher. You know, if for those of the guys that play fantasy baseball, he was sort of like a deep, you know, sleeper pick. And he started off really well with the Indians last year and kind of regressed after the first month or so. But yeah, he won't be regressing anywhere other than
he'll be convalescing.
He'll be convalescing, not regressing. So.
Right, or he might be regressing and convalescing for all we know.
There's a good chance of both in this case.
Right,
good chance.
Because it's that whole thing too with especially. So he's not Matt Harvey. Okay, so Matt Harvey's, you know, he's the head scratcher of this spring. Is he ever going to be what he was? Because his velocity's there, but he's, you know, not pinpoint accurate, and he's getting shelled in every outing. But he seems to be fine with the fact that he can't pitch anymore. So at least for now, he'll get it. You know, we were talking about Stella got her groove back. Well, maybe Matt Harvey will get his back.
Maybe. It's not looking good. He strikes me as a sort that's going to have to reconfigure how he pitches if he wants to keep it going. He's not going to be blowing 96 with accuracy. He's going to have with movement. He's going to have to.
And that's pitching. You know, that's a lot of players don't get there until they're in their 30s.
Yeah.
Where they realize, oh, I've lost a tick or two off the fastball. Now I've got to worry about nibbling corners and in and out and up and down in the strike zone. And that's a whole different. When you're a power pitcher, you just rear back and throw it. And there's a huge difference between throwing 98 versus throwing 91.
I've been thinking about food ever since you said nibbling corners. I didn't get what you said after that.
Is there any more dim sum left?
There is some dim sum left. I'm waiting till after the show to celebrate.
Okay. Sounds good. So we've talked about injuries. We've talked about the World Baseball. Well, there's been a few unfortunate injuries in the World Baseball Classic, too, that are going to have impacts. Didi Gregorius is going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
Martin Prado.
Yeah,
had a hamstring. There was one other one too. It was a pretty significant one. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, that's one of the risks of, you know, playing that game. And that was one of the things too, is that some of the players were saying after the game that, you know, well, you know, this is a great team. We had the chemistry. We came together, you know, so fast. And it was because the guys that were here were the ones that wanted to be here. So there's still that kind of pinging the guys that, you know, don't come and play for their country. But at the same time, if you're a multi-million dollar franchise player, face of the game player, you don't want to blow up at what turns out to be more or less a kind of a fun 2 weeks of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of like the trying to play it safe, but like, I don't know, is it really playing it safe? You're still pitching, you're still hitting, you could still get hit by a pitch and you can still get, you know, throw your arm out. So, I don't know.
Well, one of these years,
it's a little weird that the big names don't play, especially the big name Americans.
Right. Well, you have Kershaw, who wanted to play, coming off of his, you know, end of the season injuries, and don't want to risk having him get hurt. But Bryce Harper, Mike Trout.
Definitely. Mike Trout, I think, is the biggest surprise to me.
Because he seems all American, you know.
Well, it's that, but also, like, come on, guy, you're not playing for anything for the next couple of years. Go play for something. Like, you're going to play for the Angels. You'd be lucky to sniff a wild card spot. Get out there and, make your country
sell
proud.
Your brand.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, is like, you make yourself a global phenomenon, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the play of the tournament was Adam Jones's catch off of Manny Machado, teammate.
That was fantastic.
That was phenomenal. And he kind of rode that play, and he's kind of like the father figure of the team. And he didn't have a great series. I mean, he had great defense. I think he only padded like 240s. His on-base percentage was pretty shitty.
Yeah, I remember seeing a news flash come across Twitter or across the bottom of the screen. Adam Jones does it again. Grounds into RBI RBI out. Like, oh. That's but not he was really doing it again.
Yeah, he was the dugout firecracker, clubhouse firecracker, and kind of got the guys, you know, unified. And that was, you need that. So he played a valuable role.
Sure. So no, certainly not valuable, but not necessarily invaluable, if you know what I'm saying. That was a great catch, though.
So speaking of great, Fortune magazine named Theo Epstein, quote, the world's greatest leader, unquote.
Yes. Now,
what is that all about?
In all fairness, there's not a lot of good competition for this title these days. Now, we're not going to get into politics, but it's a thin field, we'll say. But yeah, he beat out the Pope. The Pope came in third.
Wow, I didn't see the results of this. So, who were the top five?
But you know, I don't know his name, but he's the guy who runs the Alibaba.
Uh-huh. I know it is. Yep.
Jack Ma or something like that, yep. I think his name is. And then I think of the Bezos, the Amazon guy. Amazon and what is he? The Washington Post also now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now the third richest man in the world.
Right. So he's on there. And of course, LeBron James, noted great leader LeBron James, made it into the top I think it was the top 15, which I thought, oh, okay, so this is just a bullcrap list, because LeBron James is a great basketball player, but I don't think there's anyone who's going to go out and say he's a great leader.
No, he's more of a superior athlete, no doubt about it. One of the best basketball, right? But he's more in it about him, and he wants, you know, he always puts pressure on the GMs of the teams he's played on to go out and get me the surrounding cast so I can look even better than I already am.
Yeah,
which I guess I get that to a certain extent, but he's not.
Is that leadership? Is he a leader? I don't think so.
He might lead by through intimidation.
Yeah,
but I don't consider that necessarily qualifications for world's greatest leader.
Yeah,
where did Kim Jong Un and Donald Trump finish on that?
You know, I don't think they got on there, but it was somewhere around infinity.
Okay, enough about politics. Let's move on to, we have now talked about Alex Rodriguez, I think, three times already this season. He's not going away, John. He's not going away, and he is more popular, and his personal brand is bigger now than it's ever been, because now he just purchased the rights for the UFC gym franchise down in Miami-Dade County.
Yes. Which is perfect, of course, because he already has the hookup for the performance-enhancing drugs,
and
specifically
I
in Florida.
And there was, let's see if I can find it quick, there was a quote that he had that I thought was quite funny. It says, UFC gym combines my passion for fitness, family, and the sport of mixed martial arts. UFC gym is an attractive fitness platform that supports the healthy lifestyle that my family and I lead, along with reflecting the core values that all athletes strive for: strength, endurance, confidence, discipline, and respect. He doesn't have a lot of respect in the game.
Yeah.
The healthy lifestyle thing, I'm not quite sure I get that either.
First of all, let's be clear. That was written by someone else that basically right. has no idea who he is other than the guy who signs his checks.
Right. That and I don't know if that was something he spoke or something he read off
no
of.
No way he spoke that. That sounds like a robot.
And I'm
that
thinking
sounds like one of those things when the pirate websites that pirate my movies and they stick the descriptions on there and it's like.
Right. And it's all gibberish.
It's all gibberish and weird sentences like.
And I can picture the Alex.
Like a human.
I can picture Alex reading this going like, I'm not quite comfortable with this. This doesn't really reflect my public persona. So, you know, he's
does
he
his family include the cousin that was dealing steroids? I just want to make sure I understand what he means by the family.
I just love that, you know. The healthy lifestyle that my family and I lead, along with reflecting the core values that all athletes strive for, and that includes respect.
And in a related story, Pete Rose is opening a casino.
Is he really?
No.
Are you making that up?
That's all humor, John.
That was pretty good, though. Got me on that one.
It was real enough, right?
Yeah. It's like, wow, that breaking news. Second breaking news of the day. And then the final headline that we have for this week is David Denson, the first openly gay baseball player, retires. And I have to admit, I didn't even know who he was. So I'm thinking like, well, how long has he been in the game? And then I read the articles that are out there, and he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing. This is why I put it on the list, because A, I had no idea that he was that was a thing, that there was a player that was openly gay. I mean, he was in the Milwaukee minor league system,
so he
wasn't a major league player, but he's retired. It looks like he's saying it's because of performance, and you could look at his statistics; they're not very good. Though he was considered kind of a prospect a couple years ago. When he came out. Anyway, I just thought it was worth mentioning because I think it's that should have been better known that's right. happening. I think, especially with the climate that currently exists in this country, where there are certain people of certain sexual persuasions who are maybe a little more nervous.
Right. And I think he even commented that his passion for the game, he'd lost that spark, that flame, so to speak.
Wait, John, don't. Look, no gay jokes, okay?
Oh, that's a gay joke?
So are you saying he's a flamer?
No, he's not. The flame had gone out.
Oh, so he's no longer... Wait, now he's no longer a flamer? For the game.
He's okay. Yeah, he's lost his passion and flame for the game.
But anyway, I think it's just important to get it out there and let people know that David Denson...
Yeah, and it's interesting that it wasn't a bigger deal. So the football player a couple of years ago that was drafted by the New Orleans Saints, I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, Michael Sam.
Yeah, Michael Sam.
Wasn't he drafted by the Rams?
Was it the Rams?
Yeah, it was the Rams.
And he wound up playing with the Saints.
Right, because it's like, of course, gay joke, right? inappropriate.
That didn't cross my mind at the time.
But then
Dial
it down, NFL.
And I remember the first time you kind of made the Pujols joke. I had to read it like five times before it was like, oh, I get it.
Still one of my favorite baseball jokes that there is. Anything Pujols, man.
Yeah, that's good. That was good. Okay, let's move on to the starting nine. We've got nine players that are thereabouts. A lineup of players, a bevy of players, if you will, that have names that sound like something that's appropriate to something that's going on in the world, timely of the moment. And for this week, we're doing a post St. Patrick's Day list of players with Irish names or Irish sounding names.
Yes. So, okay. In fairness, I thought we were recording this podcast closer to actual St. Patrick's Day. So let's just consider this pre 2018 St. Patrick's Day list. Okay. First off, shout out to Boston's own Troy O'Leary. He doesn't play currently, but it's maybe the greatest Irish name ever because he's African-American. Sticking with the Red Sox, we have the most Irish name ever, Sean O'Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a more Irish name than that. I was thinking of ending the list right there because where else can we go? Well, that answer right after this. That didn't really make any sense. All right. So next up, Chris Coughlin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's Irish. Mm-hmm. By the way, you'd be surprised how many names are actually Irish.
Being Irish names or Irish players with Irish, well, I guess if they're
No, just
Irish.
Names. Just like Clinton is considered an Irish name.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, mm-hmm. Anyway. And I bet Irish she was president. Am I right? All right. I'll stick to the scripted stuff here. Darren O'Day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you got an O on there, it saves everything.
Right.
David Murphy, right? Murph,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Very Irish. Danny Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Finnegan.
That's good.
These Brandon, are Irish names. I feel like this is one of my least interesting. As I'm reading this, it's like, yeah, these are Irish names, Jed. Well done. You found a bunch of Irish names.
It's like you scoured through a list of names. Because usually there's some, and I was expecting, I have to admit, I was expecting something that was more like the Darren O'Day, kind of like a little bit of a
What about
twister.
Cole Calhoun?
There you go. That's better.
Right? Maybe the inflection. If I just do the Lucky Charms guy for all of them, right, then they all sound Irish. Andrew McCullough, that's Scottish. Damn it. But you know, really any name, if you just say with that funny accent, it becomes mm-hmm. like, Corey Seager. It does. Oh, look, it's Matt Kemp. He's after me Lucky Charms.
See, you turned it around.
It's just Victor, turned it around. Victor Martin. I guess the Spanish names don't quite work.
Not as Victor, much, no.
Victor Martinez. Sorry, now I'm Irish Spanish. Is that a thing?
It could be.
Oh, how about this? How about Francisc Olindor? No?
I like that one. That's a good one.
Let's end on that.
Francisc Olindor. That's good. I like that. Is that your list?
That's it.
That's good. You pulled that one back into the funny column.
Okay, good.
Very well done.
It was a bit dry there. Try there.
It was like you know, you're just reading a list of players that have Irish last names.
Irish names. You know what? Can't all be pearls, John.
But you turned it into you polished the turd.
Thank you.
Very nicely.
Yeah. I shucked that oyster and got myself a pearl.
There you go.
Something like that. What are we doing next?
So we're doing some preseason preview. I think we're on to our fourth one?
Fifth
one already. We're five in. Yeah, wow. You sure?
No.
Five? I don't know. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yep, fifth one. So we're doing FanGraphs has their projections for the year. We're just kind of shooting the breeze about what we think their projections mean and what the realities might be as far as we see it.
Yeah.
So we have this week. We're doing the AL Central. So I'll just read down the list here. They have the Indians with 91 wins in first, a big drop off to the Tigers with 81, followed by the Royals at 76 wins, the Twins at 74, and the White Sox at 69.
Now, this could be a really bad division, right? Like, there's a chance the Indians could actually win more because these teams are so bad. I mean, I look at the White Sox 69. That seems high for them, doesn't it?
I think the White Sox is high. I think the Twins is high. The Royals could surprise and be a 80-win team. The Tigers.
Yeah, but if they're not, right? Like, if the Royals are not a good team, then don't they trade off some of these guys and then become an even worse team?
Oh, yeah, worse team. Yeah, you'll be.
I mean, I could see the Twins getting some of their players better, but they still have pitching problems.
Mm-hmm.
The Royals, I mean, the projections always hate the Royals, right? They always say the Royals aren't going to, you know, do that well. But this, I don't know, 76, I think that's
but they've got Ned Yost to really pull a few wins out for
them. No more bunts, Ned. You remember before he went to the World Series, everyone was all with the Yosted?
It was a verb.
You've been Yosted. Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, I love the Indians. Last year, I picked them to win the Central, and they did, and they went to the World Series and almost won. Are they a better team this year than they were last year? I mean, they swapped out Napoli for Encarnacion. That's an improvement.
That's a big upgrade, and they get, what all intents and purposes, two pitchers back.
Yeah. I mean, the outfield is still kind of a mess, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially with Brantley, still.
He's playing, and that's
but
good.
But still not 100%, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but they got like Chisenhall. Kipnis is out. They got Chisenhall in the outfield, so they might have to move Chisenhall to the infield and then move Jose Ramirez to second.
And Tyler Naquin's hurt, too.
And that was maybe a fluky year anyway, so we don't know.
Yeah, but they were the buzz in spring training was that they were going to give him the everyday
center field position. Yeah, no, he was definitely going to start because they got rid of Rajay Davis, and I think that's the right move. What's interesting about this team is they have I want to say Bradley Zimmer. Mm-hmm. I should probably take better notes on this. Bradley Zimmer and Greg Allen in the minor leagues. And these two guys, both of them could be up this year. Like the way the injuries are with this team or whatever. Like, and these are very good outfield prospects. Allen's more of a speed guy. Zimmer's got some strikeout issues, but they could contribute this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strong team, and of course they have the incredible bullpen with Shaw and Miller. And I said Shaw first, like anyone even knows that set of guys. Ridiculous. Anyway, Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, Shaw is also great, and what's the other guy? Otero.
Yes,
I think.
Chad
Otero. Really, really great bullpen, and you know, in the, today's game, that's a a big deal. So Carrasco's a little dinged up, right? They say no surgery, but having some issues. But solid, I think, starting pitching and good offense. And
yeah, they're by far the best team in that division.
Yeah. I mean, I would be surprised if it was only a 10-game margin. But, you know, the Tigers are interesting to me because they have so many pieces. But now that Ilitch has passed, maybe it's like time to think about trading off some of these pieces because they have an 81-win team and like they have to get lucky to win. What if they, because they don't have much of a minor leagues, what if they traded off some of these guys, JD Martinez? There's talk of Verlander getting traded, moving that big contract, getting a small piece back. I don't know. This feels like the last year for them, doesn't it?
It does. And I think, and it depends really, because Ilitch just wanted to win before he died, and that didn't happen. So he opened the checkbook every year.
Yeah. To had to try himself to sleep on his giant money pillow.
Right.
And is surrounded by his Red Wings championships.
Right, it was a tough go for him.
It was a tough life. But yeah, I think it changes the urgency of that team. And the, I don't know who the GM is there because it's no longer Dombrowski, of course. Who did they bring in? Avila, right?
Yes.
They promoted Avila, right? So I don't know if he's any good yet. I don't know what his vision is for the team, but you got to figure Upton and Verlander, and these are good players, but they're just
they need to make a decision about what their future, because they have tradable assets that any contending team is going to want to have, and they could do well.
Right. I mean, can you imagine if they moved Cabrera?
Well, if they moved Cabrera and Verlander,
oh my,
and Martinez, they would stockpile a lot of what, like the Braves did.
Or what the White Sox in their same division just did, where they just like, oh, they went from bottom five to top five minor league system.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to watch. It's very interesting. The Tigers and the Royals are in very similar situations where you can see if like it starts to fall apart, they might just pull the trigger and hit the reset button.
What do you think about the Twins?
I mean, I kind of like the Twins. I don't think they have enough pitching, but they have some pitching, and then I'm always a Jose Berrios fan.
Mm-hmm. He pitched well during the Classic.
Yeah, and he apparently they fixed something in his mechanics or whatever that was causing him to give up all those walks. But he was sort of destroying minor league hitting, and then he came up to the majors and just really couldn't find the strike zone. And I don't know if it was nerves or a little bit of like umpires not giving him the the zone. I do know that the Twins brought in the catcher from Houston. What's his name? Castro, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that his name? Mm-hmm. Jason Castro, mm-hmm. Who's noted for his pitch framing. It's a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal to go from bad pitch framing to good pitch framing for pitchers. You'll see his statistics will improve. I don't know.
That's assuming that he's missing by inches, not.
But if you can just get an extra two strikes a game, it's a huge deal. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like just. Being in a 1-2 count instead of a 2-1 count makes a big difference. So, but some of it's nerves, and they have some other pieces, and I think defensively they're not quite there, but I love Max Kepler. He's one of my favorite young players. Buxton, I mean, that's the thing, right? Doesn't it seem like he's sort of like, if everyone does well, then it just really depends on how well Buxton does.
Yeah, and if someone like him and Sano's still there, right?
Yeah, Sano. I think they're playing him at third this year.
Yeah, so Buxton, Sano have the potential. Just what they've been talking about, especially for Buxton, has been talked about. I think he was the number one prospect for, 3 seasons in a row going into the – if he just all of a sudden flips a switch, it's a different ball club.
Yeah.
Still not going to be a playoff contender, but they could win. They could be a 500 team.
Yeah, they could, and I don't think they're going to be better than 500, but
no.
What a nice change of change of scenery it would be for them to be in the 80s instead of the 60s and 70s and win. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And the White Sox, of course, they, you know, I don't want to say they hit the full reset button because they still have Dave Robertson. They still have Jose Abreu.
For now.
And
Quintana.
Abreu and Quintana. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just kept Quintana because you got to have someone pitching. Traded Robertson at the deadline because you always get more for relievers at the deadline than you do in the offseason. And then Jose Abreu, they're in a bit of a situation with because regardless of – he did a great second half last year. But the market for that hitter is so flooded still. Like, who's going to want that guy? If anyone wanted that guy, they would have signed Edwin Encarnacion, you know, in the offseason. But, you know, maybe an injury happens and someone decides they want to make a move. Maybe the Red Sox, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe their experiment at first base, DH there with Moreland and Ramirez doesn't work out. And hey, you know what? Let's get a little more offense. So, but they've turned their minor league system around. They have what some people consider to be the best prospect in baseball, and other people consider him to be the second best prospect in baseball. But it's really just because he's, you know, because of Benintendi on the Red Sox. Half the lists have Benintendi number one, but he barely qualifies as a prospect with, I think, two or three at bats. He should be, if he hadn't been injured for whatever 2 weeks in September last year, he would be, he would no longer be considered a prospect. But Moncada, and they got Michael Kopech, who throws the righteous gas and strikes out everybody and has the, you know, reality star girlfriend and, you know, could be the next superstar pitcher. Really nice. And then the pieces they got for, who am I? Adam Eaton, right? They traded to the Nationals. Very nice pieces there. Like, you know, Giolito and Lopez or Reynaldo Lopez, I believe his name is.
Yeah, nice pieces. And they, you know, you look, and that was one of the things too, is that a lot of, I think, White Sox fans were not disappointed with the trades that they made because of what they got in return.
Yeah.
They did very well. So yeah. If I'm a fan, if the Marlins were able to do that, I'm a Marlins fan. If the Marlins were able to, you know, make a couple of trades like that and totally restock their farm system to show that they're going to be competitive in a year or two, that would be something that is exciting, which might happen if Lurie is no longer there, which would be interesting.
Yeah, but, so it'll be very interesting to see which way that team goes once he's no longer involved.
Because, you know, you kind of get tired of 500. You know, when you're a 500 team, every year you think the next year is going to be the year that you kind of kick it up a notch.
Right. And that's sort of what, you know, the White Sox, speaking of which, they still have Todd Frazier. Who for some reason didn't draw, I guess, another corner bat that, you know, I guess the market. But, you know, again, another team gets an injury. Or maybe, you know, the Yankees are in the playoff hunt and Chase Headley's not hitting so great. They trade for Todd Frazier. They got himself a third baseman who get home runs, stolen bases.
I think the Yankees, though, they're going to be looking. I mean, Quintana is still on their radar.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be surprised if some sort of a deal for Quintana, not that it's going to happen or not that there's a lot of buzz, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was traded before the beginning of the season.
I mean, as a Red Sox fan myself, which I try to keep out of my opinions, my analytical opinions, I kind of hope that the Yankees fall in love with their prospects and decide not to trade for anything. And just go like, oh, we've got Clint Frazier and Gleyber Torres and look at all these great young players. They're going to be so great. Aaron Judge and Jorge Mateo. And like they got a couple decent pitchers, too, in the top 100 pitchers. So I kind of hope they don't trade because that's what you do when you're the Yankees is you trade those pieces for – you keep some and you trade the rest for contracts that other teams don't want.
Right.
If I was running them, that's what I would do halfway through the season is they gave up Chapman, half a year of Chapman last year to get Gleyber Torres. Don't be afraid to turn around and throw Gleyber Torres back in the, you know. Gleyber Torres is probably a bad example because now he's whatever, a top five prospect. But certainly, so, if you have Gleyber Torres, you don't need Jorge Mateo.
No, I think they just sent him down today, yesterday, Torres down, was reassigned.
Yeah.
But the Yankees are waiting to sign Bryce Harper in 2 years. That's their whole game plan is we'll build this. And it's, you know, again, it's smart. It looks a little bit like what, you know, the Braves did when Hart came in. It was like, we're going to start trading away and get rid of these aging fading superstars with huge contracts and make some trades and get ourselves
and
back.
Trade for Matt Kemp. the zero wins above replacement, Matt Kemp.
That's a marketing ploy more than anything, just to get some people in the new park seats.
You got to have some names on your team.
Yeah. So the Yankees will be competitive.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to win in the next 2 years, but once they get rid of Sabathia and his albatross contract, and some of these younger pitchers develop, and if they can get Harper or Machado or any of these guys that are going to be free agents, they'll be in a whole different world again, because in 2 years, those players are going to be, you know, three seasons from now, they're going to be that much closer to being in their prime, and you bring in Harper in his prime.
Yeah.
That should be a nice, I know you don't like to hear that as a Red Sox fan, looks good.
It's what it looks like.
Hey, I'd like to see the Yankees and Red Sox battle it out again, like they did back in the '70s. And again, in the late '90s, early 2000s, that'd be awesome.
I think it's important for the Yankees to be a good team. Just like I think it's important in basketball for the Lakers to be a good team, and them being like a 20-win team is not good for the sport. And I think the same with the Knicks. Like, I think it's part of the, you know, I think having dominant teams that people can hate is also good for ratings.
Right. And in their media, when you're in a media hub and things are going well, it's glorified a lot more than the piling on when you're not doing well.
Yeah.
Because now it's kind of like, you know, when you look at the teams like the Lakers, it's like, well, they're not doing so good, and no one really even talks about them because, well, Kobe's not there anymore. They're kind of bad right now, and you know, they'll get there eventually. And there's really, you don't even talk about them. So yeah, I agree with you that you need those historic franchises to be competitive and give, you know, the Yankees were the Darth Vader of baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
For many years.
Again, just if only to create, you know,
the evil empire.
The evil empire. You know, I remember seeing something a few years ago where, like, the Yankees had the best tickets, road ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your team, the Marlins, the Mariners, or if not your team, the Astros, like, those teams all have better attendance when the Yankees are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of that has to do with there being Yankee fans there and all those, you know, sort of displaced, or they just grew up Yankee fans, whatever.
And they crawl out of the woodwork.
Yeah, and it's good for the sport.
When I was a season ticket holder with the Marlins down in Miami, whenever the Cubs, Yankees, or Mets came to town,
it
felt like you were in. It was a home game for the visiting team.
Yeah, but if the Indians came to town, that's probably the worst team I could have brought up. Sorry, Indians fans. But when the Indians fans came, you know, the Indians came to town, the Indians fans don't crawl out of the woodwork because there's like eight of them maybe in Florida total. Right. I mean, there's maybe, you know, that are going to come to the game. So it doesn't make a difference. Whereas the Yankees fans, like a lot of relocated people and a lot of. So anyway, I'm pleased with the White Sox. Back to our sort of point here. I feel like they're making smart choices. I feel like they gouged both trades, I felt like took advantage of the other team's desires. And that's what you should do when you're in their position, where you're just like, you have all the great talent to sell, you know, and you're selling stuff that's a seller's market. You make sure you like that trade with the Red Sox, like that hurt that team, you know, developmentally long term.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's worth it to a team like that to get Chris Sale, because the difference between Chris Sale and whatever Stephen Wright in their starting staff is worth giving up that long-term cost, probably.
But you know? Only if Sale delivers.
But only if Sale delivers. But he's more likely to deliver than Yoan Moncada is. So
for the first two years, let's say.
That's it.
Oh, Moncada's what, 19, 20?
Yeah, 20.
So he's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, or he never figures out how to hit a curveball and
he's gone. Right.
And he's Byron Buxton.
Or Singleton,
exactly.
Okay, that gets us through the baseball part of the program.
Yeah.
And now we move into extra innings, and we take a look at the outside world on what's going on. And we're leading off with the NCAA tournament, which is happening as we speak.
Yes, and if you're listening to this anywhere near the time we, well, you know, pretty much no matter when you listen to this, most of what we're going to say is going to be outdated. So I don't really want to talk about specific teams and how they're doing and stuff. It's been a good tournament, I think, though. I don't know what the ratings are, but some of the good teams have been kicked out, which is always fun for, I think, for everyone except for those good teams. I think
right. Duke, especially Duke,
getting get kicked out always makes the nation
a happier. Big crowd pleaser.
But again, this goes back to our point about the Yankees, right? Right. Like, it's good mm-hmm. to have.
Well, and I love Mike Krzyzewski. I just yeah. love him as a coach and as a human being. I just don't like Duke winning.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it that goes back, you know, decades. Yeah. Going back to the Mike Jaminski days.
Wow.
Now, I went to high school.
That sounds like a made-up name.
In Newtown, Connecticut, and Massac High School was our biggest rival, and Mike Jaminski went to Massac High School. Then he moved on and played at Duke, and then went and played with the Nets for several years and was a superstar for a big
interesting.
Guy.
Interesting.
So now he's an
Sometimes
announcer for the
–
now he's an announcer for
– I think the, I'm actually saying that it's not interesting.
Yeah, you're kind of like,
that
I don't
case,
know.
In that case, like, actually, it's kind of interesting.
And now he's an announcer for the NCAA tournament. He has been for
Oh,
the last,
is that right?
Yeah, he announces games. Wow. He's been doing that for the last 15 years.
I will say I've been a little disappointed with the announcing.
Well, I'm just happy that Clark Kellogg is no longer being a broadcaster, especially for the championship game. He's the worst broadcaster ever. Just so bad. And now he's in the studio where he can look like an idiot in the studio. Overall, the tournament hasn't had any really up until tonight, which, you know, I haven't had a chance to see these two games, right. But they were both close within one.
But oh my God, John, it's happening right now. Did you see that shot? It's incredible.
But there hasn't been any buzzer beaters. There hasn't been a single buzzer beater in the entire tournament so far.
It's just been like a good tournament. You know, it hasn't been like, which is weird coming off of like the Cubs last year and the Warriors, Cavaliers. Sorry, Indians fans. It was like, hey, I just tune in to listen to this podcast, and oh look, I'm getting my teeth kicked in by this guy. And then what was the other one? Oh, the Super Bowl,
right?
Yeah. Those playoffs and that Super Bowl with the greatest comeback in the history of and this tournament's just been good. It's, you know, seen some good
games. Maybe we'll get a Final Four that'll be one for the ages, that'll you know, be a tooth and nail type of games that come down. I love games that are really close and it's, you know, 20 seconds to go and it's tie scored, teams down by one and hits the winning basket to go on and win.
It doesn't make you too unique, John. Most people do like games like that.
But that makes it more memorable. I would say that this tournament so far has not been memorable.
I would agree with
Villanova and Duke losing, it hasn't had a lot of that. Woo.
Isn't that enough, John?
No, it's just not. It's more about those incredible shots. Or like Michigan was a great story, and they were going to be the story of the tournament until they lost tonight. So they're not the great story.
Or yesterday, or the day before.
Or the day before, whenever it was. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Whenever you're listening to this, it could be a year from now.
Yes, last year.
So it was the 2017 NCAA March Madness tournament.
Oh, timestamp it. I like it.
Okay, so now let's move on. We've got so we spent a lot of time on that first element of the extra innings. Yeah. So I actually saw this too, and I thought this was absolutely hysterical. Christy Yamaguchi's text to Nancy Kerrigan.
Yes, wishing her, hoping that she breaks a leg on Dancing with the Stars.
And I'm assuming. I don't know. I haven't read anything else about it, but I did see the tweet in an article that Christy had no idea that she was saying that.
Yeah, I mean, technically it was a knee, right? Isn't that the
Tonya
Harding?
Right.
Was a knee, right? So, but yeah, I mean, obviously I'm sure there's no malice in it. It's Christy Yamaguchi, for crying out loud. That's
right. It's not like she said bust a kneecap on Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, that would be like some next level trolling. That's like beyond Trump trolling. That's Hall of Fame trolling if that was deliberate. But it's just, you know,
well, what would make it for a really exciting show is if Tonya Harding came out during Nancy Kerrigan's performance and kind of whacked her in the leg.
What if there was an interpretive dance, and that was part of it? I would vote for that. I would watch that show
And I would watch, especially that. If Tanya Harding was the one delivering the faux blow to the.
Yeah, she's
the
not leg. In prison or anything, is she right now?
I don't know. I don't know, but I know she's a shell of her former self. She let herself go a little bit.
To be fair, she was sort of hanging on by a thread. I don't know if you saw the footage of her from back then, but
yeah,
even at the time, she looked like she was hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, she was trailer trash. Yeah.
Though I will say, if you feel like you're hanging on by a thread, maybe have your boyfriend hire a guy to go take out the knee of your competition.
It might work. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, at least you gave it a shot.
Yeah, at least you gave it a shot, you know?
Yeah.
On her terms. What's next?
Okay, Tom Brady. These just like things that people are losing sleep overnight. Tom Brady got his jersey returned.
I will say his second stolen Super Bowl jersey.
Yes.
Stolen by the same dude.
Apparently he stole Von Miller's or somebody else's from the Broncos, too. Yeah.
Have you seen the video footage of this thing?
No, I haven't.
The guy that they... They're saying they suspect, but like whatever, they got the stuff back. But they haven't announced officially who it is, right? Anyway, someone tracked him with the security footage from the wherever it was, NRG Stadium, NRG. Oh, good. And you can see the guy go into the locker room when he's not supposed to be there. Goes in there with the team, right? He's a reporter. But apparently he's like more than just a reporter. He's like an actual head of the media of some Mexican station or something or network. He goes in, comes out with something hidden under his arm, walks on out while everyone else, all the other reporters are starting to come in.
You know, they should go back to that Colts playoff game and see if that guy is placed in the room. There could be something there. But I'm sure Tom's day, I'm sure, because, you know, he's got one of the most beautiful women in the world as a wife. He's won 5 Super Bowls and
multi-millionaire, greatest makes quarterback a gazillion of all
dollars.
Time.
So,
yeah. But now he's got his jersey back.
Now he got his jersey. It's like giving him his mojo back.
Yeah. His mojo. Right. Sure. Well, you know, I think, though, if this isn't reason enough to build a wall to Mexico, when Mexicans are coming over with press credentials and stealing football jerseys. Come on. All right. No politics.
No politics. Finally, last element of the show for Extra Innings is the Power Rangers movie that just came out this weekend. And I haven't seen it, but you're saying here, and I'm going to believe you because it's written down right here on the document, that they've introduced their first gay superhero.
Yes. Now, to be fair, all superheroes are gay.
Kind of gay. If you're wearing leotards or bodysuits and
So this one's a lesbian, which I assume they did because it's more palatable to young boys because it's the Power Rangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that?
I'm sure there's some parents out there that are just livid.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's the right place to be doing that, but I don't know. It's a little strange. Well, strange to take a Power Rangers and then make someone gay, a gay character. I don't know.
But the character's gay. She didn't become gay after she got her superpower.
No, that's not. She's not. That is not her superpower. That would be an amazing superpower, though. Like, she goes into a phone booth and comes out gay.
She mixes in. She blends in.
Anyway, it's interesting. It's just an interesting thing. Mainly, I just wanted to make the joke about all superheroes being gay.
Okay, and you did, and you did it well.
Yeah.
And you made me laugh to end the show.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
And bye-bye.